Tonight on the Band from Ringside podcast, you get your big Wrestle Kingdom 13 predictions, All Elite Wrestling's big prediction. We reflect on the life and times of Mean Gene Okerlund, and this week in WWE, that and a whole bunch more tonight on the Band from Ringside podcast.
Reunited and it feels so good.
Ditch that 9 to 5. It's time to feel alive. Hello, Mark. So up to the Band from Ringside podcast. As always, I'm your host, Bill Vagie, a.k.a. Jesus Take the Heel. And to my right, we have Two Beer Zach Coleman. What's going on, Two Beer Zach?
Hail Satan. That was fucking great. Way to go, Bo. Pretty good, man. The adrenaline for, like, Wrestle Kingdom's kicking in. I get that, like, shaky, like, feeling like right before I have sex.
Like,
I'm just getting ready to like put my dick into another human being.
Oh my.
And I think Wrestle Kingdom is going to be that good.
Fuck yeah. That's
not where I expected it to go right after that. But I think I know what he means. Oh, man. I like how you said another human being. To his right, as always, we have Jason Cornelius Bell. What's going on, Jason B?
Allow us to break down the good book of Band from Ringside to start off 2019. Volume 88, chapter 3, verse 14 of the good smart saith, hashtag booty heels. It is all good, baby. I'm not as excited as Zach is. I'm kind of trying to pace myself a little bit. Quick shout out to my girl, Becky Balboa. I love you, babe. I'm ready to go, man. This is going to be a huge weekend for wrestling in general for us on Sunday. Got to pace yourself. It's a marathon and a sprint.
Rounding out the table, we have Murray the Murray Man. Murray, what's going on, Murray?
Not shit. I'm doing great. Bunch of exciting stuff. Like as usual, we're on all the social medias live right now. BFR Pod on Twitter, Facebook.
Yeah.
Friends of BFR, it's been shared on there.
Instagram,
also YouTube, Band from Ringside on YouTube.
That's right.
But he was talking about the adrenaline. I've got it for Sunday.
Because what's happening on Sunday there,
Sunday,
Murray?
We are sponsoring Glory Pros Above the Law in Collinsville. Yep. I think it's at the Columbus Plaza Banquet Hall.
BFR going to church on Sunday.
Yeah. That's right.
We're going to have a booth up. We're going to have all of our merch with us. We're going to
pray for us.
All kinds of stuff for you. So come hang out with us and come see some badass wrestling featuring Glory Pro.
We are debut of Bandido.
Yes, that's right.
We are coming at you from the exquisite Shock City Studios in beautiful St. Louis, Missouri. We got Sam the Mauler Maul turning the knobs tonight.
Mr. Perfect's in the house.
Before we get too far into it, we're going to do that day one-ish sponsor. We got Soul Taco, which is the best Korean Mexican fusion food that you never knew that you needed. They got spots in the U City Loop in St. Louis, Chesterfield, Missouri, Columbia, Missouri, two spots in Chicago, Illinois, Champaign, Illinois, and food trucks driving around for lunch and dinners and lots of events here in St. Louis. You can also get them to cater weddings. I mean, I've been to a couple weddings where they've been at. So Soul Taco, they got the best stuff. I recommend the spicy pork burrito. That's my favorite thing. They also got the chicken and they got that steak. They even have tofu. They got everything. Kimchi fries. And
that's the shit.
So go get Soul Taco. Tell them the Band from Ringside Central. We also got JJ Twiggs on Southampton. JJ Twiggs is a great spot to go to get that St. Louis style pizza. If that's what you're into, it's a great place to watch the football games, the basketball games. They have hockey specials when the Blues are on. They have bucket specials. So go get some JJ Twiggs on Southampton. Same deal. Tell them that Bill sent you because I don't invite the other guys to go there when I go.
I'm looking
there,
forward to watching some XFL games there with Jason without you.
We going to the game, baby. I thought you knew.
What about me?
Without further ado, let's get to our three count. JCB, what's our one count?
One count is going to be on the somber moment. When this came out, I guess it was yesterday because my days are kind of confused now at this point because I've been on vacation. It struck me as just like, man, this is just another one of the big pillars of WWE going down with Mean Gene Okerlund passing on, I guess that was the 2nd of January 2019. It hit me funny because I was just like, man, this is crazy. You know, we just started the year off, and now this is how this year is going to start off with, you know, you taking away the guy that was the backstage commentator, the guy that was the guy to set up any, you know, running storyline. You know, Mean Gene Okerlund is what you know, the Corey Graves are today, what Charlie Caruso, all these, Renee Young, all these people that are doing it now, Jeremy Borash just going from Impact Wrestling. These guys basically have jobs because Mean Gene Okerlund was the one to start this whole thing up. Even in comedy segments, like when Andre the Giant choked him out at WrestleMania. It's stuff like that. Well, not him, but it's Bob Uecker. But he was in that setup. It's stuff like that where, you know, you really take back on what Mean Gene Okerlund meant to the business, to WWE in general. To myself, I mean, as much as I hated Hulk Hogan, and I still do for this day, you know, Gene would set it up.
Why? Why would you?
Well, you know, I disagree
him more
with
now
his views.
Or less?
I hate him more now. I mean, I hate him because he didn't lose. Then now it's just like he's a racist bastard. But he, you know, Mean Gene would always set him up, and then, you know, Hulk Hogan to come. You know, some Mean Gene, and that's what I would always. That's what I take away from it. As much as I hate the fact that I associate one of the most visible memories to Hulk Hogan, that's what it was about. You know. It set up in a scenario where guys did their own promos and they had to cut, you know, whatever it was just off of what had happened. Mean Gene was the guy that was the point guard. He set you up to then talk about X. So for Mean Gene is always going to be linked to Hulk Hogan, good, bad, or indifferent, and he will be missed.
For guys in our generation, I mean, Mean Gene is synonymous with wrestling in the 80s and in a lot of the 90s too.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's hard to imagine. It's hard to think of him. Without thinking of him standing next to either Hogan, Andre, or Macho Man Randy Savage. I mean,
Flair, especially.
Yeah, there was Flair, too.
I WCW.
Mean, can't really think about him without thinking about him next to those guys. And plus, he was so witty. I mean, there were all these. I listened to a montage today of shit that he would say in the moment that was really, really witty and funny. So he will be missed. He was a guy that really got the business, too, right?
Yeah, he was great. Like you guys said, like a total fixture, but just great head for the business, super witty. You know, I'll always remember his weekly announcement of Ric Flair, whatever city they were in, as long as Flair was working WCW and he wasn't suspended or whatever. He was right. Calling him down the aisle and the Mean Woo Gene, and it would take like 10 minutes just to get him into the fucking ring and get talking, but... That was lovely, and Chris Jericho always calling him Gene Mean, which was so funny.
Murray? One of my favorite things, too, I mean, it's all the same things you guys said, but also just his blooper segments. Like, his blooper reel is uncanny. Like, foul mouth, super foul mouth. Mean Gene, yeah, dude. Check it out. Like,
I'm going to have to do some Googling.
One of them's he's interviewing Roddy Piper, and he lifts up Roddy Piper's skirt and...
Kilt.
Thank you. And he's not wearing anything under it. And he's like, oh, fuck. He starts cracking up laughing. There's one where he's doing an interview and the set falls down behind him and he just yells, fuck it.
Yeah, I was just going to say, that's Rick Rude. I saw that. Yeah, there's one where it's him and Bret Hart and Mr. Perfect are being interviewed. It's the King of the Ring segment.
Yeah.
And it like Gene Okerlund is just like totally instigating this whole thing. Was like, well, you know, Bret Hart, I heard you was looking to face Mr. So-and-so. So that means you're going to get past Mr. Perfect? He was like, no. You know, Bret's kind of like trying to be the nice baby face. He, you know, baby face is like, you know, no, I didn't mean that. You know, I just want to wrestle, you know, Mr. Perfect. He's a good, you know, competitor. You know, I want to test my skills again. By the end of this, you know, the segment, it's like, you know, they're talking about each other's dads and, you know, I beat you at SummerSlam. I'm just like, damn.
He's like the Bobby the Brain Heaton only of the, like, you know, the announcers and whatever, because he's just got...
He was the backstage commentator. Right. That was the guy that, like I said, he was what Renee Young is today, or was... up until a certain point. That was Gene Okerlund back in the
80s.
Okay? Anytime you had an interview, Gene Okerlund did the interview. Anytime you had like a backstage promo, Gene Okerlund was that guy. Until when he went to WCW, he just took over that. and it's just, yeah, it just
they kind of made, kind of made him a heel over there for a little while too, if you remember that.
Well, yeah, he was able to carry.
I remember him calling like Sean O'Hare. Is that Sean O'Hare? Is that right? Is that the right guy? There was like a really shitty tag team. I remember him calling him a prick, and he's like, shut up, you prick. He's like, I know guys that can break your kneecaps.
And let it be said that
I'm sure you're right.
He's probably the only guy that could possibly have ever taken the name Gene Okerlund to become so fucking cool.
So RIP, Mean Gene Okerlund, truly a legend. And without further ado, we'll get to our two counts.
Look at Wally Pip just jumping right in like nothing's happening.
Sam left. I guess too cool for school. We're like,
fuck these.
We like Bush way better anyway. All right, Zach, what you got?
So for the two count, big news in the wrestling business. We have the official announcement of AEW All Elite Wrestling. We all kind of assumed that this was coming, but now it is official, and we've got Cody Rhodes and Hangman Page and the Young Bucks and Brandi Rhodes being officially part of this, along with Scorpio Sky and what are they called? SoCal Uncensored, that trio. More to come on the horizon. A lot of really cool things coming down the pipeline. We've got a kind of a press conference on the All Elite Wrestling or being the Elite channel on YouTube, I guess, next Tuesday. And it's like apparently, right down the street from SmackDown.
Apparently they've gotten, in Jacksonville, right?
Yes.
Because that's where the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars is pumping a lot of money into this thing. And apparently they've had more than a few offers from TV channels.
There's
saying,
multiple television deals.
Yeah.
Like, whether they are, I heard Time Warner today. I don't know if I heard that from like a very good source or not. It's actually happening. It's going to be a thing. How big of a thing it is remains to be seen. But my prediction is it's a big thing, and it's great for young wrestlers who are talented, guys and girls alike. They're going to get more money from whether it's WWE, ROH, All Elite, MLW, whoever they sign contracts with. Those contracts are going to be better looking and better financially for the wrestlers because there's competition.
What do you think, Murray?
I'm just excited. Like, one of the things that I took the most out of like the Attitude Era and, you know, what I would consider our golden era of pro wrestling was just the idea of like guys that, especially now in the WWE, there are guys and girls who are not being utilized because it's so swamped over there. There's so much people and so much talent over there. They can't do anything with them, and they're ready. And the idea that they could kind of start swapping a little bit again, and the surprise of who might go where whole thing like they did with WCW and the whole nine yards, that's got me all bubbly and itchy for it. Like, that's what I'm really excited. Plus, everybody over there is amazing. I don't know. I'm just excited that there's going to be something else on the horizon.
Yeah, for sure.
Go ahead.
Well, I mean... when I think about what's the best case scenario for AEW, I think that it's a weekly TV show. I think that they have to have a weekly TV show. I don't think that they can have, I know that.
How long is the TV show? 1 hour, 2 hours?
I think it's good. I mean, there's so many questions. Like, how many guys are going to be on their roster? Are they going to have a deal with New Japan where they can switch back and forth? Are they going to have a deal with ROH? I mean, the thing about ROH is that it's beloved, and it's beloved for a lot of good reasons. But ROH is a launching pad for a lot of guys. It is not the location that they're trying to get to. It's a place that's supposed to put them somewhere.
It's like NXT in a way.
And really, ROH plays in front of 1,800 seat theaters. You know, I mean, it's not on the same level at all. What is AEW supposed to be? Is it going to be traveling? I think another thing about that might be able to get them to poach some people from other promotions is those guys aren't going to be on that WWE schedule, which is wrestling 200 nights a year or more sometimes in some cases. And some guys, you know, there's guys like Finn Balor who is a lot older than he looks, and maybe now I've heard that maybe Finn Balor is a bad example because I've heard that Finn Balor loves it in WWE, but maybe guys are going to say, you know what? I'll take a slight pay cut to wrestle a lot less and be with my family a lot more and be on the road a lot less. And maybe AEW can AEW can be the destination spot for some guys like that. Jason.
I'll go Zach's part first and then answer my own question second. TNT, TBS is the channel that I'm hearing. I don't know if that's Time Warner or not.
That's Time Warner.
Okay,
yeah.
So same thing.
Well, that's a lot bigger of a channel than I thought you were going to say. I thought you were going to say something that not that's not in all households.
No,
like AXS. Like
apparently, Impact or, yeah, right, Cond has
TV or yeah.
Cond has contacts with Time Warner, so that's the channel that that's in the pole position, for lack of a better term.
TNT would be massive, man.
Yeah, I think it would be
an huge.
Easy transition, and it would be something that everybody that would have cable TV should be able to get.
I mean,
no
people might not be able to watch as many episodes of Bones as they want to, but I mean,
you know, on Tuesday nights you can watch Tuesday Night Dynamite. I think this should be at least a 1 hour show to start. It has to be. I think it depends on the roster itself, but I think the initial success has to be on this TV deal. The length of the TV deal, if it's like 3 or 4 years, then it gives them time to play with. You don't have to come out and sign big names and get this thing over. It gives you time for people like, just because it's the first person I thought of, and I'm not trying to say that this person's going, but Shinsuke Nakamura, his contract's coming up. It could give him a chance to figure out what he wants to do. AJ Styles, The Revival, The Good Brothers. I mean, if they see that this
Cesaro.
Is... Cesaro. Oh, perfect example.
That's what I keep thinking. Cesaro, like, would be awesome.
Yeah, Cesaro would be amazing in this. God. If he would sit back and waited and saw AEW start to improve and make... just a little heel imprint, and they're not kicking in the door. They're not taking over WWE. Let's get that off the table. They might, you know, eat up a little of the MLW, the ROH portion of this market share. But I mean, that's just, it is what it is. Not unless they're going to decide to work together.
I heard they trademarked the phrase Tuesday Night Dynamite.
Okay,
so that was one of the initial leaks.
So yeah. Whatever the case may be, that might be one of them scenarios where. This is where it's going to be slotted for Tuesday, and it's perfect because there's nothing that WWE does on Tuesday besides SmackDown.
I think those smaller promotions are going to be so threatened by this that
that's who it's really going to hurt.
That's who it's going to hurt, and I don't see them necessarily working together unless it's out of pure necessity or like some kind of like goodwill kind of scenario. Because I mean, ROH is going to be their direct competitor. People talk about WWE competition. Like you said, it's just, it's not going to happen. But it's wrestling competition, and it's going to take some talent away.
Okay, that's what I was going to say. It's going to be a competition in ring talent, what they do in ring. The business model, man, you can forget about that. That ain't going to happen anytime soon, if ever. WWE is the number one wrestling promotion in the world. Period.
God,
wrestling,
damn, that's a hot take.
They're wrestling,
I mean,
Walmart.
You're right.
Period.
I mean, when he's
wrestling
right, he's
Walmart.
Right.
When he's right, he's right.
Okay. Now, at that point,
wrestling Walmart. That's
good. Just have to be able to be better than the slowest gazelle that's behind you. And if that's MLW, if that's ROH, no, so be it.
It's TNA.
Sleep on TNA.
Listen,
that's all I'm saying. Keep sleeping.
It's not a value judgment. It's just...
they got a shitty TV deal shittier.
Okay.
Very few people watch it.
The product's better than Raw.
I pay attention to other podcasts. Very few podcasts talk about it. I mean, it's just...
it doesn't make that...
It's the slowest gazelle.
Okay. So if that's the slowest gazelle, then you just have to make sure for the moment, whenever we start this whole promotion, you just have to be hitting the ground running and be faster than them.
Yeah, they're the slowest gazelle, and AEW is that hot, sexy, fucking young gazelle.
Cheetah. How much of a... on a scale of 1 to 10, when this finally was announced on New Year's Day, because I thought you were the first person I thought of. I mean, like, were you like... inconsolable? Did you have to be like put in the corner, like quarantine from everybody else, just because your boner was so big? Or, I mean, because I know how much you were excited about this.
Oh no! I mean, it was exciting.
Talk about Zach's dick tonight.
He started.
It's a lengthy subject.
Oh, there he goes.
It was exciting. But if there would not have been all this lead up to it, I think it would have like popped a lot bigger.
Yeah, there's no way.
No pun intended.
No way they could. There's no way they could have kept it quiet. No. So Jericho has kind of strongly hinted, not so subtly hinted, that he will be involved. Is Jericho a big enough mainstream star, current mainstream star, to say, to get people to start, to get the casual viewer to maybe start turning their attention towards AEW? Because TNA had a lot of stars and it didn't do shit. But of course, that was terrible booking.
Jericho's got a good way of you know, appealing to the masses in a lot of ways. Like, I talked about a couple weeks ago how I went back and was watching the Tough Enough stuff, and he was the host of one of them. And he was just like straight up TV, every guy's host. He was really good at it.
Right.
And he's able to kind of evolve and shift however he needs to fit somewhere and get eyes there. I think he's at least good enough to bring attention to the upper mid card portion of the show.
They also rumored that Goldberg's involved.
I saw that too earlier today.
Pretty strange.
However, I mean, I think it's kind of you know, sense. You got to kind of get the common man, but the casual fan. He's just a
I don't really know if I agree with that, because like I said, we saw TNA fail trying to do that same thing. But
I don't think you go all TNA, in that way. You still go with the base of the foundation with the Bucks, Cody.
I tell you
maybe
what,
Kenny Omega if he comes over, SCU, Paige.
I'll say
you
this.
You start with that and you kind of build off of it.
I don't ever want to see Goldberg in a title match in AEW.
Well, that's what I was going to. What are they going to do? Put him against Cody?
Right.
Like, who is Goldberg going to go against?
Put him against Hangman Page? Like, I don't want to see that shit.
No, if he puts over Hangman Page, then I'm all for it.
If Hangman buckshots him to the fucking moon,
then I'm all for it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure
that's what he's supposed
it.
To be there to do at this point.
I'm sure
he's
at this point
he
might do that. I mean, he's not working for McMahon where they boo the shit out of him, you know? Like, I mean, not to say that if he went over there that they wouldn't do the same thing, but...
I don't think Goldberg likes the job at all, though.
That's, good point.
Yeah, good.
Yeah,
you might have to start figuring this shit out, because it ain't
it's
about
for his
you.
Boy. It's for his son.
Okay.
Take your shirt off, boy.
Yeah, you already saw that shit. Dad was champ, okay? Let's move on. Fuck out of here.
Speaking of moving on, we'll get to our three count. No.
No, that's why we're all looking at you.
And so we're gonna devote a lot of time to the Wrestle Kingdom predictions, but before we get there, because we want to spend so much time, I know that some of you may have missed some of the goings on WWE TV in the last week because of the holiday, but
shit, spoilers everywhere.
It had See, I don't read the spoilers. It had no business being as good as it was for a pre-taped holiday show, and I know that Murray agrees with me. But just running down a few of the things that happened, Dolph Ziggler fought Drew McIntyre in a cage match that was like a four-segment match where Ziggler put him over and McIntyre came back to get some a little bit more after he lost. Seth Rollins and Triple H had a really good promo in-ring together where Seth Rollins again mentioned Brock Lesnar, wanting Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania, which makes me think that that's definitely on the table. Let's see here.
I feel like the, unless you're already going to be going to that, but I feel like the match that happened at the end of the night with Seth just solidified the fact that they're probably going to put him with Brock.
Yeah, because
that whole old Seth Rollins thing that they're doing, and he went nuts with the chair for like what felt like 10 minutes
against Lashley.
Yeah, so I feel like they're probably gonna do that or Drew, honestly.
And two other segments that I want to talk about: there was a 5-way match for the number one contendership on SmackDown between Mustafa Ali, Samoa Joe, AJ Styles. Who am I forgetting?
Brian? Or no, not Brian. He is the champ. Mustafa Ali, Samoa Joe,
AJ Styles.
Damn.
Mm-hmm. Y'all getting ready to make my point.
Oh, that's getting ready to make your point?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So having a 5-way number one contendership
Randy
match.
Orton and Rey Mysterio rounds out your five, gentlemen. Oh, yeah. You're making my, See, that's what I'm talking about.
Mysterio.
You're just making my point. There was no
Rey
reason
Mysterio.
To. Okay,
I'll talk to Murray.
The match itself
Mysterio
was five.
Rey Mysterio and Mustafa Ali had a really good segment in the middle of that.
That's true.
I'm just saying,
there's only two people that should have won that match, and neither one of them did.
Speak on it.
Wait a minute. So you're already tired of AJ Styles versus Daniel Bryan?
Look, man, if we're talking about
there's
fresh
a shiny
starts,
new thing that runs in front of you guys. You guys are already sick.
All you did
AJ
was
Styles
give him the
Ryan.
Rematch without saying it's a rematch. He wins the Fatal 5-Way. Let's be real for 30 seconds. Who was realistically going to win that Fatal 5-Way outside of AJ Styles?
AJ Styles, but it's still nobody outside of AJ Styles.
Okay,
but
thank you.
But it's still better than half the shit that they've been putting out, and it's still it was a New Year's Day show. They don't do that
don't
shit on New Year's
a,
Day.
Don't compare it to Raw because Raw is consistently worse than SmackDown, and B, more importantly, it doesn't. SmackDown is always consistently good. So just because it's a little better, we change the people, but you still have Rey Mysterio. You still have Randy Orton. You have Samoa Joe. I mean, Samoa Joe hasn't been even relevant since he walked in the door. So all of a sudden, you're going to put guys that nobody cares about. He hasn't been relevant. Don't start.
Since he walked in what door?
Since the WWE. Since he came into WWE, he's lost to, let's count it, AJ Styles. He lost to Brock Lesnar. Outside of that, he's had some bullshit
Hold on. So
Jeff Hardy, to be
please. Relevant in the WWE, he's got to win.
To me, yeah.
There's only three belts, hey, so everybody's got to win.
Kurt Hawkins is pretty over.
I mean, and like everybody fucking loves
when
AJ Styles.
When you lose to Jeff Hardy, there's a problem.
I was going
to
make this quick.
He just put the dad hand down on the table.
And and Becky Lynch and John Cena had a really good segment.
Everybody does, so I can't see me to John Cena. I mean, come on.
Oh, now wait a minute. That's not a great use of John Cena, have John Cena come in there and then have Becky Lynch
For Almas and DeVega to go down, no. I grab two jokers from the back, I don't give a rat's ass who it is.
So there's two ways of looking at that. Either that can give some shine to Almas and Vega, or that's burying them. And you're going to go with that's burying them?
I say it was burying them. I just say you could Google somebody else.
For Zelina Vega to tap out to Becky Lynch is a burial of Almas?
Then
get the fuck out of here.
No, it has nothing to do with Almas because Almas didn't have anything to do with the end of the match. The problem is, if you want to do it, let's do it right. John Cena ain't going to be here around long, so let's have him go down to Almas. That makes fucking sense to me. I ain't give a shit about Zelina Vega. She's hot, but that don't mean shit to me.
I know. That's why Becky Lynch went over.
Okay. And then why even have that match? If you want to do it, do two separate matches. You can have Becky Lynch whoop on Zelina Vega. That's fine. I don't give a shit.
But then you can have Almas look good against Cena and not
and
have to take
have
a pin.
And then have that as a separate match, have him go over and everybody wins. You get Becky Lynch to run.
You should book the territory.
I should
let you book the territory.
I should.
That'll do it for a three count.
I think we just condensed all of the general angst about WWE like into a nice little 5 minutes there.
Oh, my God. Just shitting on my point. You didn't even let me get through my point.
You want to go back to your point?
No, I want you to let everybody know about our sponsor, F&B Eatery.
Let me try to get back on point. F&B Eatery on 3453 South Hampton, part of our South Hampton Mafia. They just changed the hours. They are permanent hours now. From this point on, they're closed Mondays and Tuesdays. Then from 11 to 8 on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, they are open. Then Saturday, Sunday is from 8 to 2. Go in, check them out. Tell them JCB sent you. Do not... just because my views on WWE may be a little harsh,
yeah,
do not
let them
take
know that,
that
JCB was yelling about them.
Stop.
They got a great burger though. They have a great burger, killer burger.
Yeah, I saw the other day they were doing a burger challenge. It was Max.
I saw that too.
And Hyatt Point and F&B. And if you're in that conversation, you're fucking doing great.
That's exactly right. Yeah, I would have voted for F&B Eatery though.
Well, yeah. You have to say I'm biased as hell, so I'm not even going to say that.
Well, the other two aren't sponsors.
So there you go. Go check them out. 3453 F&B Eatery. Tell them Ban from Ringside sent you. We'll go that route.
This is Ban from Ringside.
All right, so we're going to spend the last half of the show previewing Wrestle Kingdom 13, which is a very exciting event that is coming up. It's going to start here in about 7 hours. So unless you're listening to this Thursday night, it will have already occurred. But we have to talk about it because it is one of the biggest events on the calendar.
Shit is the event. It's the Super Bowl, damn it.
I want to know, what match are you looking forward to the most?
Shit, the first one. Ibushi versus Will Ospreay. That's how you going to start this shit off?
I can't believe they're doing that.
That's how you going to start this shit off. That shit to me is crazy. That's right. How this go. Oh, my God.
Well, there is a pre-show match.
I guess.
Yeah.
But it's got still.
A bunch of dudes in it. So we're not going to make these official predictions.
No, I just want to see.
But we can go through and give our predictions. Sam, we won't ask you to participate in this one because you've never heard of any of these people. And your notorious bias against Japanese people.
Sam can't even defend himself. You want to defend yourself before we start, Sam?
Nah, he's over there nodding. He's like, hell yeah. Nah, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding about Sam, everybody. So,
nice.
Ibushi versus Will Ospreay. So, what are we thinking for this one? JCB.
Before Ospreay got hurt, this was supposed to be Ospreay as champ and Ibushi coming in as challenger. Obviously, we have it the other way around. I'm going to stick to my knee-jerk reaction going into it. I think Ibushi is going to win. I think there's bigger and better things for Ospreay upon the horizon. The Neverweight belt is not necessarily the end-all to be-all for Will Ospreay. I think it'll be Ibushi.
Zach, what do you got?
Yeah, and honestly, the same thing, because what's interesting about this match is when you think about it, Ibushi, or whoever wins, and I'll choose Ibushi, whoever wins is not necessarily going to be the one who succeeds in 2019. And I really think this is going to be the year of Will Ospreay. I think he's going to have the greatest G1. Even if he doesn't win, he'll be like Ishii was this year, where he had the fucking best matches. So we'll see how that plays out. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on in 2019 with New Japan. So even though Ibushi wins the title, this is the year of Will Ospreay. So,
are you calling that right now?
You're calling it for the year of Will Ospreay.
Year of Will Ospreay.
Okay.
2019.
Okay, shit.
But you don't see him winning the G1?
I think he is. I wouldn't call him a dark horse to win the G1. I would
call
him
like 95. Isn't he super, super young?
He's pretty young. I don't know how young he is.
I think he was born like 95. Murray, any thoughts?
He's
on
a
this
literal
one?
Baby face.
Not yet.
Okay.
I promise, right. I'm getting there.
I have to see Kota Ibushi retaining this one. I don't think that they're going to take any, unless they want to take the belt off him now just so he can chase the title after this one. But I got to think that they're not going to have, I got to think that Kota Ibushi goes over. So
they've
I'm going
hot shot
Kota
this
Ibushi.
Belt, like, I mean, it's been back and forth.
Yeah, I was going to say, the little I've watched it is, this is the one that they don't really worry about who has it for an extended period of time. They can take a look at Goto and Tai Chi.
Yeah.
All right, the match, I mean, it's tough to say that I'm looking forward to this one the most, but man, Ishii versus Zack Sabre Jr. They're two of my favorite guys that are in New Japan. They're the ones that I enjoy watching the matches the most when you don't talk about, like, Naito or Omega. This is for the British Heavyweight Championship, which, someone enlightened me.
It's Rev Pro's promotion from Britain. Think like Progress, Rev Pro, IWP. It's essentially a British promotion.
Does it always get defended in New Japan?
Well, no, but it's a big belt, but a lot of times it ends up being defended in New Japan.
Yeah, I was going to say, they did it last year. Obviously, they're doing it again this year. They share talent from time to time, so that they'll have, whoever wins will end up going back over to Britain at some point and defending it up against, fill in the blank, their number one contender or whatever the case may be.
Has Zack Sabre Jr. ever held it?
Yes.
He did recently.
Yeah, he lost it to Ishii, who then lost it to Suzuki. Suzuki lost it back to Ishii, and now Zack Sabre Jr. is coming back up. I watched that press conference that they did. They just did the belt redesigned. Sweet looking belt. As long as I have the mic, I'll go ahead and start. I can't go against the guy that I voted for the wrestler of the year 2018. I'm sorry, I'm biased as fuck. I love Ishii, but I'm gonna pick Zack Sabre Jr. Especially at some point, they're gonna go back to England. I think he'll go back to England as champion.
Yeah, that's the logical choice. Same for me. It is the British heavyweight belt, and Ishii is the fucking man, but Zack Sabre represents that belt. You know, it's kind of like the U.S. fucking belt in New Japan. Like, they're not throwing it on fucking Tanahashi.
Right.
You know, it's a fucking U.S. belt. Even though...
No, I'd actually take that back. If it was WWE, they would throw it on them. But
oh yeah, you get heat. You got to get that sweet, sweet heat.
I was thinking the same thing. I took Zach Sabre Jr. just because I could see him going back and defending it. And I mean, I got to think he's probably a pretty big star in England.
Yeah, he's huge in England, and I think this is going to be. I'm not saying it's going to be the year of Zach Sabre Jr., but there are some reports that he's in line for a big push. And God forbid if he doesn't win in, against Ishii. I mean, whoever comes out as champion, Zach Sabre Jr. has wrestled both Kenny Omega and Tanahashi. Either match would be a great match. So, I mean, if he loses again to Ishii, he can still be in the title picture at some later point.
All right, the Gorillas of Destiny. Tama Tonga and Tongaloa versus, I'm not even going to try to say that, L.I.J., which is Sanada and Evil, versus the Young Bucks for the Tag Team Championship currently held by the G.O.D. JCB, who you got?
Obviously, I can't take the Bucks. My gut tells me that Gorillas of Destiny are going to retain. I really think that L.I.J. is probably going to win in this match, but if I got to be pinned down to a pick, I'll pick Gorillas of Destiny.
I'm going to diverge from JCB here for this is the third prediction, right? So yeah. We were even, so the points don't matter, so it doesn't really matter.
Whose line is it anyway?
You also went different. You went Will Ospreay and he went Ibushi.
No, I said Ibushi was going to win, but it was going to be the year of Will Ospreay.
My bad.
Sorry, right. That was confusing.
Yeah, all right.
I think this is L.I.J. I think it's going to be a great night for L.I.J. Evil and Sonata are great. I know, like, Tama Tonga and Tangaloa, you know, have, you know, good, especially Tama Tonga with the good social media game and the Bullet Club thing, and they're good at generating heat. But, I don't know, like, I like them, but, like, I'm never, like, super invested in their matches if it's them and somebody that's, like, okay. Whereas Evil and Sonata, I think, can fucking work with anybody, and they had great matches with the Bucks earlier in the year. Like, they're more of a common denominator. I get more excited about their matches, and I think they're a cooler team.
Did you guys see where Tama Tonga on Twitter, when they showed the AEW announcement, and he said, "Where's Kenny?" And somebody responded to him and said, "He's at home with Kota." And Tama Tonga goes, "What are they doing?"
I did not. I think he asked him if they needed a jobber, though.
Really?
Yeah.
For those of you that don't know, I mean, it's kind of a known secret that Kenny Omega and Kota Ibushi may or may not be an item. I mean, Golden they are Lovers. Called the Golden Lovers.
That's the whole yeah. Shtick.
Yeah.
But it's like,
if you like it, I love it, man. Knock yourself out. Just put 5-star matches up.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, I don't. Come on, guys. I'm going Gorillas of Destiny.
I don't care if you're ambidextrous. I don't care if you can use both hands.
Wait, nope. Did you? You win L.I.J.?
L.I.J., baby.
All right. I'm going the Gorillas of Destiny. Japón. Say that again.
Los Ingobernables de Japón.
That's what it is. I'm going Gorillas of Destiny also. Okay, we got. I just can't see the Young Bucks winning on their way out.
No.
Which you could say the same thing about Cody versus Juice Robinson. And Murray, please chime in whenever you want to. I don't want to just completely
no, you're
over
good.
There. Cody versus Juice Robinson. I would have to think the same thing. I got to say Juice Robinson is going to go over.
This is a good story because Juice hasn't beat Cody, and it has been a good setup. Juice was a dusty kid. He's one of the best promos in the industry, and for him to go over Cody, who's been very, very well protected in New Japan, if you think about it, he has not lost to many people except top guys, and he's had a really great run. I think this is Juice's time to shine.
I'll obviously piggyback on that, and I'll kind of take something you said and spin it in a different way. Juice Robinson's first title run, I'm going on the assumption that he's going to win this morning. It kind of was an abrupt title run, so I think this might be a chance to kind of reestablish him as, you know, a mid-card starter that I thought he was going to be. But I guess the bigger point I was going to make is that Cody Rhodes is taking some heat about being executive VP for AEW. This is one of those times where I think, and going down the line, I'm just going to assume that this is going to be the same line of thought. Yeah, he's this big star, but then he's going to have to put other guys over, because at some point, it's not going to be about Cody Rhodes. It'll be about the Juice Robinsons, the Hangman Pages, the guys that are behind him. He's not the greatest technical wrestler, but he's going to tell a great story. He's going to get Juice Robinson over. So this is going to be the example of what I think is to come with him, with the Bucks, guys that are going to be in that executive portion of AEW. They're going to have to put the next group of guys over. Look for the start tonight. Juice takes out Cody.
What's the heat that Cody takes for being executive of AEW?
Well, it puts him in charge. So now everybody's so worried about, you know, back in the WCW days when, you know, you had Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, and Hogan basically calling the shots. The Bucks are going to basically be part of this booking, you know.
I think it's listed as Cody being executive producer.
He's executive vice president.
And that the Bucks are the head bookers.
Okay.
And that Christopher Daniels is the head agent or whatever.
But you see where I'm going with it. Yeah. You can start to smell the collusion if you wanted to play the connect the dots game. I don't think they're going to play the connect the dots game, honestly, because I think they see it from the wrestler point of view. They don't see it from the Vince McMahon point of view.
I mean, how much older was Dusty when he used to book his own matches all the time and everything? I mean, he invented the Dusty finish.
Okay, but Dusty wasn't about Dusty. Hogan was about Hogan. Nash was about Nash. Scott Hall was about Scott Hall. It's the mentality.
And they're all
is
about
the,
each other,
right? And it's the mentality that, is the difference.
I know that the heat's not coming from you, but like I would definitely much more assume that Cody's going to be a lot more like Dusty when it comes to booking, especially if he's in like title matches.
Goldust even said on his Twitter not too long, like the other day, he was even saying that he's got so much of his dad in him. And thing is, all those guys are young enough too and have been big enough fans of the business that I think they've learned from mistakes that have been made by people in that position.
I don't know
not
that they
to
have,
go that route.
Yeah, and I don't know that they have the egos like Shawn Michaels to not do jobs for guys.
I hate the sidebar like that, but that's what I was kind of thinking about coming into today, is that this is just going to be one of those times where you can see Cody going to tell a good story, but then ends up giving the belt
he's
back
like a
to
boss
Juice.
Role, you know, he's probably not going to be in the ring as much, and then you have to get through him to get over kind of thing, and that's a perfect position because that means he's going to
he's like Triple H without the shovel.
Exactly.
Uh-oh.
Sledgehammer.
Uh-oh. Yeah. No, it's shovel. Okay.
You have that recent being the Elite, they had like a Triple H style character come in and offer to sign him to tag team contracts, and they were like, no, we saw what you've done with the tag team division. It's like, so they're kind of taking shots, which
they should.
I don't know about that.
No, they're good.
Kushida
we
versus
do it every day.
Yep. We're talking about it.
Speaking of shots, this is the first Band from Ringside episode ever where I don't think there's been a single drop of alcohol in the room.
That's true.
Oh. And you saw what happened to me and Jason when there's no alcohol in the room. And I start screaming at each other.
Get mom and dad a beer quick.
I don't even have any in my system.
Kushida versus Ishimori for the Junior Heavyweight Championship. Zach.
I'm going to go Ishimori here. Kushida is the absolute fucking ace of that junior heavyweight division, especially with Will Ospreay moving up into the heavyweight division. Kushida's the guy. He is a great kind of gatekeeper. He's a great guy to get somebody over on a huge stage like a Tokyo Dome show. And Ishimori had a hell of a fucking year. Bone Soldier, you know, the new Bone Soldier. He's fucking cut up, man. He's a great fucking wrestler. And I think he takes it.
Quick sidebar for 30 seconds. Do you think we see Hiromu at any point tonight?
I don't know. I don't think so. Oh, also, another sidebar. Apparently, there's talks with Kushida and WWE.
Okay, so you stole my thunder a little bit. No, I don't give a fuck. But, I mean, ultimately, that's where I'm going to pick Ishimori because of this nasty rumor that Kushida is WWE bound. I think that's a huge mistake. And it's not because of my consistent bashing about WWE. I just think that if you look at the grand scheme of things, it's where does he actually fit? Is he 205 live, or is he going to be a part of the main roster? If he's going to be a part of the main roster, where does he fit in the main roster? Does he go to SmackDown? Does he go to Raw? Is he going to be mid-card? Is he going to be, you know, upper mid-card?
Couldn't he go to NXT?
He could, but I mean, that's probably where he would probably go first. But then it's not like NXT ain't loaded. I mean, you know, where do you go with that? So, I mean, that's why I'm just saying it's. I get why you do it. I just don't think
it's an off season.
It should be an off season just so they can heal. And
it's called injuries.
Yeah. So, but ultimately, I think Kushida leaving New Japan is a mistake, even though you probably done everything you could possibly do there. Go get your money. I ain't mad at you. You know, just be prepared to suffer.
So we're all taking Ishimori.
Yes.
All right. So now I think probably in terms of, well, maybe not
follow
star
me on that one. That's a safe bet.
Maybe not star power. Maybe these aren't the three biggest matches, but they.
You skipped one, though. There's a junior heavyweight three-way.
I did?
Yep, there's
wow.
Kanemaru and Desperado, who are the champs, versus Roppongi 3K, which is Sho and Yo, and Bushi and Takagi.
Wikipedia has that as the pre-show match. I was just skipping it.
Oh, okay. Right on.
I thought the pre-show match was the
Wikipedia has two pre-show matches. Okay so
that's fine.
I don't know anything about that one. So who do you think's going to win?
I think Sho and Yo. Bushi and Takagi, you know, if I'm you know, like, I want to say that because I picked LIJ for the other ones, and it could be a great night for LIJ, and they're super over, but Sho and Yo are so fucking good. Also, I think Kanemaru and Desperado are, like, only 50 days away from, like, a record reign with those belts of days held, but I don't know. It's a toss-up. It could go any way, and there's reasons for putting it on all of them. But I think Sho and Yo are the most talented of that group.
I'm kicking myself because last week I picked the Briscoes as tag team of the year, and I totally forgot about this team, even though they're a junior heavyweight team of Kanemaru and Desperado. Yeah, they're very close to breaking an all-time record for most days held as junior tag team champions. However, that being said, I will agree with you on this. Roppongi 3K is probably the hottest team of the bunch coming in. I think Shingo and Bushi is probably just a little too early to put the titles on them, because I think down the line, LIJ is going to get their crowning moment, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. Give me Roppongi 3K.
All right, running out of time. Three matches left. Okada versus Jay White, a singles match with no belt on the line. Might be the only match on there without a belt on the line. It's the only match here.
Yeah, it's the only match on the card
with no belt on the line.
Because it's about pride, baby!
So who you like?
Jay White. I think it's time for him to go over. Okada clearly doesn't need this. I mean, he is
as over
can get. He can take a Wrestle Kingdom off. It's fine. Jay White, not saying he's going to be the best of the bunch, but he needs that push, and this is where he starts, right?
Zach?
I totally see that. I also have a hard time imagining Okada losing at the Tokyo Dome. And I also have a hard time seeing Jay White suffer too much from a loss either. I just got to go with Okada because he's just my fucking favorite. So
I ain't mad at you.
Yeah, I'm taking Okada also for the same reasons. in a no DQ match, we have Chris Jericho versus Naito. I got to take Naito. I mean, Jericho won the first one, right?
Yeah, that's how we got in the situation.
Right, that's how we got the Intercontinental Championship.
14,
so who you got?
What? No, not 14. It was a long time ago. Yeah, I got Naito too. I can't imagine them continuing to put this Intercontinental belt on ice. I can't imagine Naito taking another loss, especially at the Tokyo Dome. Yeah, gotta go.
I agree. I think the no DQ just adds a little bit of kerosene to this hot fire, but yeah, I just especially if Jericho is going to go to AEW or to Impact or wherever the hell he's going next, it's just a good time.
The whole reason he went over in the first place was to put Naito over later.
Yeah,
I can't imagine. Like, it's funny that they do a no DQ because the first match was a total fucking brawl. Like, you know, it's not like they fucking disqualified anybody that match.
All of Jericho's matches in New Japan have been.
I'll take it one step further. It started off that way. It just kind of developed that way.
I think he's just differentiating himself.
Right. This is the raw Chris Jericho.
I think he's saying, you know, a lot of this card might look similar to each other. I'm here to throw a change up into a big match.
Into a new card Japan itself, yep. And then to Chris Jericho, right. Plus, the new Japan Chris Jericho.
Jericho's not going to be wrestling like Tanahashi anyway. So, and finally, for the heavyweight belt, we have Omega versus Tanahashi. I got Omega. No reason to put it on him. After that long build with that four match.
I think there's a perfect reason to take it off of him. His contract's up at the end of the month. I mean,
so who you taking?
For this episode, I will still take Kenny Omega, but I will not be surprised if he loses before his contract is up. New Beginnings in Sapporo is at the end of the month. I think it's the 27th, 28th. I think he wins here, but I wouldn't be surprised if he loses at the end of the month.
Two here.
I actually have Tanahashi for the same reasons.
There we go. You guys said. There we go.
I because of Omega's contract ending, and also just the fucking amazing year that Tanahashi has had, and he's the fucking ace. Omega does not get hurt losing to Tanahashi. I mean, Tanahashi wouldn't get hurt losing to Omega either, but I think it'd be a really cool story. I think that's a cooler story than Omega, even though Omega's a younger guy. Now, if Omega is still wrestling New Japan in April, WrestleMania weekend, that belt's going back on him at Madison Square Garden.
All right, give me your match of the night. Match of the night prediction.
I'm going to stick to my guns. I'm going to say Ibushi Osprey is starting this off.
I was going to say Ibushi Osprey, but because you guys say that, I'll go, you know, way out there. You guys will never see this one. Omega Tanahashi.
There you go. Way to step out on that branch there, buddy.
I think that one could be kind of cool.
This is Banned from Ringside.
Okay, guys, we got birthdays this week. We got Jim Ross, good old JR, is 67.
Speaking of AEW.
Canyon. R.I.P. Who better than Cannon? Would have been 49. Chavo Sr., I believe he's passed away. It would have been 70.
I think he's passed.
The gobbledygooker?
No, he was no.
That wasn't the gobbledygooker. I thought it was gobbledygooker.
Chavo Guerrero?
No, not Chavo.
No, he was Boogeyman.
That was never mind. Sorry.
give him a segment off. He just jumps right back in. Ladies and gentlemen.
Bushwhacker Luke would have been 72 if he's still alive. Sorry about that, Luke. Bad Luck Fale is 37.
Definitely alive.
Chris Masters, the masterpiece, is 36, and Ruby Riott is 28. Hey, everybody, we know there's a ton of podcasts to listen to, so we appreciate you taking the time out of your week to listen to ours. For Soul Taco.
Check.
For JJ Twiggs in Southampton.
Check.
For F&B Eatery on
check.
Southampton. For Shock City Studios.
Check.
Sam the Mauler Mall.
Mr. Perfect. Check.
Murray the Murray Man Murray.
Check.
Vice.
Bo. Happy New Year, baby.
Two Beers, Zach Pullman.
Check.
Jason Cornelius Bell.
I'll
am
see
Bill
tonight,
Vagy.
Baby.
And everybody, boo the heels.
Boo.